Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. Today in the studio in Golden Valley, we have Mickey Mikeworth of Mikeworth Consulting. She's a two-time winner of the Top Woman in Finance. Last year, she won the Minnesota Women's Mentoring Award and the Esteemed Partnership Award from Head Start for the groundbreaking work she's done in teaching homeless families the ropes on climbing out of poverty. She has spent 10 years working on rearranging resources so that people who have extra can give to people who need. Mickey is an international micro lender and was one of the first people to start lending in a program called Kiva, a prosperity-based model of how to build entrepreneurship and fight long-term poverty. She has helped individuals from over 150 countries through her lending and was highlighted in Town and Country magazine for her work as an international philanthropist. She is currently working on the Itasca project with other Fortune 500 CEOs and the major nonprofits of Minnesota on planning the next 10 years of growth for the city of Minneapolis. She has helped grow multiple nonprofits specifically to do grassroots level work to build prosperity in the city, and her real job is a chief financial officer for hire. She is currently working with 50 individual brands and 414 individuals and mentees. This is her 18th year in business. Wowie, wow, wow, wow.
Wow. Wow, sounds fancy.
Yeah, it does. Well, welcome to the program.
Well,
I'm so glad you're here.
I know. I don't know how we're going to get through this without giggling.
I know. Well,
right. And I are both just
effervescent.
Smiley.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Well, glad to be here.
Great. The purpose of our program is to offer mentoring conversations to our listeners who are out on the road like we are. Sometimes we're terrified in the work that we're doing, and we don't always know what we're doing. And so it's really nice to have conversations that we can listen to of people who are out there like us, forging ahead and pioneering new avenues in our country to make the world a better place.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, I've gotten to listen to this, to the other shows that you've done. And
oh, great.
It is really helpful to hear the down and dirty.
Yeah.
The real deal. Cause a lot of us have a fantastic resume.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff that we don't talk about.
Right.
When I went through the questions that you had, I was really surprised because I've done a lot of interviews and these are very personal questions.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Because entrepreneurship is personal.
Well, I agree.
And it's when we go into business for ourselves, we don't go into the business of personal growth, right? We're going after, you know, a passion that we found and is resonating somewhere with some people and we want to see what happens.
Yeah.
And we don't want to stop doing it.
Right.
And so we venture out on this journey and we don't know what's going to happen.
Well, and I tell people a lot of times it's kind of like having a giant art project.
Yeah.
That you just kind of have to be with it and kind of see where the ink flows or where things move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
Well, let's get personal. How are you feeling right now? Because I know that there with entrepreneurship also, I just think in life, there's not this professional me and then there's this other me.
Right.
It's you in different roles.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the more integrated that you can be as a human being and grounded in yourself, mm-hmm. The easier it is to take on and off these different roles and wear these different hats.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how am I feeling right now?
Yeah.
you gave us a way to talk about that in
the self-awareness
mentoring journal.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll share with you something kind of on the side of that.
Yes.
I've been doing, so how do I manage this conversation about my inner self and knowing who I am at all times is that's my first goal every day.
Oh.
Is that my job, grant I do all these things.
Yeah.
But my job in my opinion, is that my job every day is to make sure my light is on and to know that what is my light?
Yeah.
And sometimes that's kind of the hardest thing to do, but it's actually the most easy thing to do. So I was going through this self-awareness journal, and this is just on a side note, I'm doing a class on healing, just in general, just healing some things. And so when you ask me, how am I feeling? And some of the things that are on here are kind of talking about inner hurt.
Yes.
And so Saturday I woke up, and in the middle of the night, I'm sobbing. Oh my right, gosh. My husband's sleeping next to me, and I'm sobbing, and I'm like, oh gosh, I am really making a lot of noise here.
Yeah.
Let me go upstairs. So then, you know, he can hear me sobbing upstairs. And in my dream, I am working through all of the things that were bothering me, that I was writing on a chalkboard going, I am so sorry for this or whatever. And I was just working through this from this Buddhist meditation that I had taken.
Okay.
And so when you gave me this other piece.
Stuff.
It was so freeing. So I had to get up in the middle of the night and really start writing down what my body was processing.
Nice.
And it was just so relieving.
Yeah.
It was so relieving.
It's a good purge.
It's a good purge. Well, it just kind of put things into perspective for me.
Oh, nice.
But I do a lot of that kind of work, a lot of meditation, a lot of kind of checking in with self.
Yes.
Because that's my first responsibility.
Yeah.
Just being here on the planet.
Well, and I'm not surprised that you'd be kind of going through kind of this cathartic moment after you've made this move.
Oh, yeah, my move. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My entire life, for all of you out there who have ever lived through construction, you know, remodeling. I have it in both places. I have my house is being remodeled and my office is being remodeled. So there is no freedom from dust.
Okay.
None. Just everything I have is in disarray, in dust, and we're just trying to kind of build it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my office is looking fantastic right now.
Oh, good.
Yeah. We have furniture and there's carpet and the art has been delivered. And
oh.
So it's looking pretty fancy.
Oh, good.
Fancy pants.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how are you really feeling now?
You know, I'm just glad to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been looking forward to talking to you for a long time.
Oh, good.
Because, you know, yeah. I like you.
Yeah. Well, let's just put it out on the table.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like you too. And I love what you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. And so what else would you like to share about your feelings right now? Anything?
You know, no, well, that emotional cleansing piece.
Yes. That was good.
You know, my normal state is usually pretty generous in spirit.
Yeah.
That I'm always, you know, I'm not afraid to be me.
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid to speak whatever truth is there.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's no fun.
Right.
But that piece I'm always really easy about. And I'm always pretty kind of willing to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
That's for me is my beautiful self.
Yes.
Is my vulnerable self. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind being, I don't have a penalty.
Yeah.
That I have to pay to be vulnerable.
Well, and when I first met you, I mean, I just noticed to be around a woman that's so accomplished and you're so comfortable in your own skin.
It just,
you know, there was like an instant.
Oh, there's my chills of truth. Yeah.
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 Chemistry there of connection.
Yeah.
That just sparks some joy. I'm just like, that's so awesome to feel that. I, you know, it doesn't happen all the time.
It is my superpower.
Mm-hmm.
It is
you know, superwoman with our
you know what
it wrist
if
watches.
If you are really willing to be yourself,
yeah,
people will forgive you a stupid amount of things. I mean, people are very generous with me.
Mm-hmm.
That if I just am okay with being sometimes wrong, sometimes, you know, not right or not in the right court, or if I'm just willing to be me,
yeah.
I don't have to play any games.
Yeah.
I get to just go, I don't know,
yeah.
Or I do know, or that's not going to work, or I can just be me.
Yeah.
And that piece has afforded me so many honorable passes for stupidity that, you know, So yeah, people are very generous with me.
Have you always felt this comfortable in your skin, or is there some practices that you do to help you?
Boy, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. I mean,
I hear you.
It is so much work. I was willing to take those risks.
Yeah.
And they're really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So for everyone that's out there right now listening to this show, that is my number one piece of advice is start getting comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's been a parenting motto for me, for all of my children. Which
How many
is,
do you have?
Well, we have three.
Okay.
And we've kind of taken in a few extra that just want to be our children.
Okay.
Nice.
Yes. So, yes, I really only have, we only really only have three, but we've got kind of a mirage of them around. And, but anyway, the thing that I always remind them is I'm really comfortable with you being uncomfortable. Yes. So I'm going to let you grow.
Nice.
But I won't let you fail.
Yeah.
We'll still love and care for you, but
yeah,
you know, it's okay for you to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And for me, that was that piece of learning how to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that meant doing a lot of things that aren't comfortable. Last year, I applied to the FBI.
Wow. What kind of work do you want to do with them?
Well, they have this new program that I was asked to apply.
Yeah.
And they have a citizenship FBI. They take in 100 applicants.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, that's really uncomfortable. I mean, filling out all the stuff you have to do for the FBI is really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So, it's things like that. You just have to learn to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. So, you put yourself out there in really different ways.
Yeah.
And doing things that kind of speak to you.
Well, or my friends will volunteer me for them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, you know,
you're still calling them friends.
I do. Yeah. I do. They all come up with things. So, last year I had to do an art exhibit. So a full-out art exhibit, and it took me, I had a year to prepare for it, learned that absolutely, it is way too much work for me to be an artist, because, oh my goodness, that is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, so, but you got to appreciate the whole piece, right?
Yeah.
It feels very vulnerable to show your artwork if you're not kind of a acclaimed person to say I'm an artist.
Absolutely, and have other people kind of critique it.
Oh gosh, yeah. It was unbelievable. And, and I was really glad I did it. I mean, it was really cleansing, but it was it absolutely made me crazy for a year. And then I've had to jump in a lake in a Wonder Woman costume in the middle of winter, where they, you know, they put a hole in there and people jump
was
in.
Was this in Lake Minnetonka?
Oh gosh, I don't even remember what lake we were in. I feel like we were in Lake Calhoun.
Okay.
Yeah, but we were in the city. But yeah, you know, people come up with all sorts of stuff for me to do.
It's, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I had to learn how to swim. You know, that's crummy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big woman. So like I just go, oh gosh, there's a lot of me to move through this water. But
yeah.
And so, yeah. So being able to take risk makes it easier to be you, because you just get used to not being good at things.
Yeah. And not taking yourself too seriously and getting stuck in kind of a perfectionistic type of thinking.
The perfectionism I always strive for. I would love things to be perfect. I just can't. I can't embed that.
Yeah.
As my everyday way of living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a no fun way of living.
Well, I'm sure it would be fun if I could be perfect all the time. I'm sure it would be fun. Like there's no way you could talk me out of that. That would be super. Yes, that would. I still,
you know what?
Think
maybe
that would be great.
You need to create a perfectionist costume.
Oh my gosh!
So you can just, like, you know, jump into it every now and then.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even know what color hair I would have.
Yeah.
Like what color hair do you wear if you're perfect?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a redhead now, so.
Yeah. Well, I think whatever you choose.
Right.
Yeah, because it would be your perfectionist.
Oh,
suit.
My perfection. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be anybody else. This is you looking perfect.
Yeah.
So whatever your image of perfection is.
I think we just have to take my little body and just push it into a beach, and then I'm good. Mickey in the beach scene. Yeah. Perfect.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
So where did you grow up? You grow up in Minnesota?
I did grow up in Minnesota. I grew up in Minnesota, and I have a kind of a weird family dynamic. So we grew up here in the city, and my grandparents had a farm. So we, you know, I spent a lot of my life on the farm.
Okay, what kind of farm?
So, well, it depends on where the wealth went. So it started out as a horse farm.
Okay.
Then we went to pigs. Mm-hmm. Then we went to dairy. And so its last years of life were as a dairy barn.
Okay.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. we did 100 head a day.
Okay.
So it's, you know, it's a lot. I know how to do milk chores.
So did you have a milking parlor? Or?
Yep. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. That, you know, 4-H and that whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
What part of Minnesota?
Wisconsin.
Okay.
We live in Trade Lake.
Trade Lake.
My sister still lives
there.
Is
that where you were born?
Nope. I was born right here in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Okay. So your grandparents had mm-hmm. a farm there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then my grandmother collected humans. She just collected people. She used to have this diner called Dottie's Diner, which is right behind where the Science Museum is in St. Paul on Chestnut. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So our family had a diner there and land there. And they, to put in some of that new stuff, they had to rip out my grandmother's diner. But she had a diner that was open, at 4 a.m, made bread. And she served all the people that built Shepherd Road.
Oh,
so, okay. I would get up. My mom was waitressing there when I was little, so my mom couldn't have been that old. So I would get up and go to the diner with my pajamas at age 3 and just pull up a chair.
Okay.
And they'd feed me. I could have lemon meringue pie for breakfast. So, like, I had a perfect world. And this little cute sleepy thing would come out and someone would pick me up and feed me breakfast. It was great.
Oh.
It was great. Kind of how I would like my whole life that way.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So when the city tore that out, my grandparents bought a farm.
Oh.
So then they decided to give their hand at farming. And so we are just...
That's a huge... hugely transition of a lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, my grandfather was also a hockey player in his youth.
Okay.
So I think that he just had that gumption.
Sure.
Hit it harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just hit it harder. We'll go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how many siblings did your mom have?
Well,
or was it your dad's?
Yeah. My mom and my mom had two daughters. Okay. So my sister and I, and then, you know, as families grow, they
split. And how many siblings did she have?
My mother?
Yeah.
Oh, three.
Three.
So, okay. But she also came from a split family.
Okay.
So there were other siblings that we found later in life as well.
Oh.
So her life is, I think that's kind of the magnification of our whole family line is it starts out as one thing and just blooms into another and then perhaps another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just kind of see what happens in the blooming of these families.
Yeah. So my grandmother bought this farm and had this kind of vision of a group living. Mm. So I shared a bedroom with 8 other girls. You would have to crawl over 7 beds to get to mine.
Oh, my gosh.
And we had a girls' room and a boys' room. And so we had just a very... You know, I really, really, really enjoyed my childhood.
Oh, that's cool.
Because I got to come back to the cities to go to school.
Yeah.
But every weekend, a car picked me up and brought me to the farm on Friday after school, and they brought me back Sunday night. And we'd get to stay on the farm every holiday, every school break, all summer. I mean, it was a fun life.
So did you bring friends with you then, or your other siblings?
No, we had all these people there. No, you didn't need friends. They are your friends.
Okay, I thought
like cousins and
okay.
So we had
extended family,
extended made up family. Yes.
Okay.
So you know people that I don't know how they got to be my aunt, but somehow they're your aunt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very welcoming family.
My husband now, when we first met, he goes, "Can you just give me like a diagram of your family tree?" Now we've been together for 18 years.
Okay.
And he will still pick it out. He will like about every 4 or 5 years, he'll go, "Let me get out this piece of paper that you tried to give me," trying to explain this world I came from.
Yeah.
And he's like, this
this is an acid trip. I'm telling you, this is so bad. And because, you know, if you are someone who, sometimes you fall in love with people.
Yeah.
And they just become your family, even though they're not maybe a real relative.
Yeah.
By this legal stance.
Right.
But they are your people.
Choice. Yeah.
But they are your people.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of people.
Very cool.
A lot of people.
And you still do.
I still do. Yeah. 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 And the fun part of that time in my life was I don't know how it got there, but my grandmother got to, we all had a different name. So, like, my grandmother or my grandfather would, like, name us at birth, and then we had that kind of, like, little nickname for our whole life. And I think I was 30 before I realized that my cousin Tornado had a real name, Robin. I thought, God, that's a terrible name for you. That's a terrible name. You are so much better as Tornado. And they named her that because her hair was so awful. I mean, she always looked like she'd come out of a windstorm.
Yeah. Oh, perfect name
She just was a whirlwind. But yeah, so we all have these names. My nephew's name was Midnight. Who I think he had the best nickname of everybody.
Yeah.
Midnight.
Yeah.
Yeah, my grandpa named him.
What was yours?
Yeah, Little Bit.
Little Bit?
Yep. I was a little bit like a butterball turkey. Then okay. I came out and my grandma just looked at me and I was a big, healthy 8-pound baby. And she thought that was gigantic. And I thought, wow, look at how, my sister had an 11-pound baby.
Wow.
And many years later, but she's looking at this 8-pound, gargantuan baby that came about. And she goes, wow, that's a little bit like a turkey. So then when I had my son, then they named him Little Man. Because he looked like I'd given birth to Danny DeVito.
Okay.
So and they name, I mean, you, they write your cards to that, you know, you
oh,
just.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. So you're just,
yeah, so
that's your name.
That's your name with that clan, with my people.
Yeah. With your people.
With my people.
And somehow everybody kind of just, that's the way it is.
It is.
You just accepted it and it's okay.
Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. You just kind of. Whenever there's a large, if there's a death in that clan or that group of people, you kind of get to see them. I mean, that's kind of the fun of a funeral is you get to go see all of these people and you go, oh, I don't, what was Fat Friend's real name? What? Who is that guy?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, yeah, somebody has to tell me what their real name is.
Yeah.
So.
Right, because, nickname. We had nicknames, but they were fun nicknames.
They weren't?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my brother, yeah. So that's my, so when I hear people have nicknames, some of them are really fun.
Yeah.
Yours sound really fun.
Yeah. Well, Mickey is, my real name is Michelle. So I've gotten to live my whole life as, I was adopted into this name. So I got to live the majority of my life as Mickey Mikeworth. And that's a really fun name to haul around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're the only one.
I'm the only one on the planet. Yeah. Yeah. If you are Googling right now, M-I-C-K-E-Y. Mikeworth. M-I-K-E.
Yeah. Don't go to
Mouse. Right. It is truly me.
So in this kind of environment, what did the interests that you enjoyed that gravitated toward?
You mean growing up or just in general?
Like as you were growing up in this kind of unique circumstances, it sounds like one of the interests was acclimating to all these different people and finding fun things to do.
Yeah. I think what it gave me, I've spent a lot of time with some of these questions that you gave me. What makes me, right?
Yes.
What was that? And growing up in a farming community, you get to really understand the power of outside.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is kind of, as a child of the 70s, I was born in the 60s, but I'm a child of the 70s and a teenager of the 80s.
Yeah.
So,
grew up on a farm too.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's really what you were supposed to do. Just those two words were always told to you. Go outside.
Yes.
Go outside.
Right. See you later.
Yeah.
See you at dinner time.
Find something to do outside. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Where they used to ring a bell and you'd come in then, I don't know what they did in the house while I was gone, but
yeah.
Probably just be quiet.
So did you help out? It sounds like you helped out with chores.
We did a lot of things, but what I got out of that, I think, I've talked to a lot of other leaders because I hang out with a lot of other leaders.
Yeah.
And a lot of other people who came up with agrarian ideals and mm-hmm. work ethic.
Yeah.
Having a farm work ethic is really, really a different, it is a different way to think. And it's a way, the way I explain it is that you really are, you're constantly rewarded for effort. Mm-hmm. You know, that if you are going to farm, if you're going to grow something or you're going to care for an animal or whatever, you are consistently and persistently rewarded with effort. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes you really had to put in a lot of effort to get your reward.
Yeah.
And that makes it easy to work.
Yeah.
When people talk about that work ethic, you know, we were in the fields working at age 8.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of responsibility at a young age.
Well, you were given permission to put your hand in.
Yeah.
You know, to give, mm-hmm. to, I think that is one of the things that I really
like the way you said that.
Yeah. Yeah. You really do. You have your permission to put your hand in. Mm-hmm. And that isn't allowed in many of the ways that we are raising or being now, that you're not allowed to put your hand in.
So and how do you foster that with your kids?
Well, everybody had to learn how to do their stuff. You know, one, I'm really comfortable with you being uncomfortable. Give it a try.
Yeah.
You know, get out there. Try something that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure they all have stories of why they should be in therapy.
How old are they now?
Well, our oldest is 32 and our youngest is 25. So
okay.
They're grown and having their own families and dogs, and you know they came out okay. That all of them are they came out okay. I like them.
That's
good. Yeah. I like them as humans. I mean, I like them.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and important.
Yeah.
Right? Well, to just like hanging out together.
Well, they just no one's alike. You know, and that's the piece I kind of appreciate.
Yeah.
Is you don't have to be like me for me to love you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And or the other thing that you hear from me a lot is, we don't have to agree for me to love you.
Yeah, nice.
You know, we don't have to have the same thoughts or ideas.
Yeah.
That's not going to change the fact that I am crazy about you.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I think that's a lovely note to finish out our first session on.
Well, good.
Love, acceptance, and it sounds like a great family belonging.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, good.
Well, thanks for being here.
You are so welcome.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
All right.
And let's continue our conversation into number two.
All right.
All right. Cool. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks, Mike Cabea, our sound engineer, photographer, brother from another mother. We'll see you next week.
Do you want to promote your business and grow in your leadership skills? Here are a few ways you can promote your business and get leadership help through We Mentor, Inc. You can be a podcast guest. Challenge yourself to share who you are on air. We'll help you out. Secondly, you can sponsor our podcast program. You can invest a small fee to have you and your company name announced at the beginning and end of one or more shows. The third way that you can promote your business and grow in your leadership skills is you can set up an individual strategy session to do work one-on-one with me, focusing on specific life and leadership issues and skills you want to acquire. Or the fourth way is you can join an entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab. These ELM labs start throughout the year. They are small groups of 5 to 9 business owners who are out to profoundly shift their lives and lead with authenticity. In 2016, I became a registered yoga instructor and mindfulness meditation teacher. I also became certified online with Brené Brown's Brave Leadership and Courage Works courses to learn an effective process of being all in, falling, getting up, and trying again. In turn, I can mentor others in how to dare greatly and rise strong. I feel better equipped to help you forge ahead in these times of great uncertainty. Our Entrepreneurial Leadership and Mentoring Lab process is an integrated approach to leadership development. We do yoga, meditation, and leadership revolution skill setting. Yes, we will help you learn how to strengthen your body, strengthen your mind, and increase your emotional stamina as part of our leadership development process, along with learning about real-world business planning and strategic planning. We do what works. Get involved, get started. You can reach me at 612-804-8920 or go to wementor.com and connect with us. Lastly, if you like our podcast program, help us keep it going. You can donate to our program. Just go to the wementor.com website, click on Buy button, and fill in the donation amount that you would like to contribute. We appreciate any and all contributions. See you next week.